Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to come into your house, a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house where you promise you're here with us, that your Holy Spirit will teach us and bring all things to our remembrance and guide us into all truth. What a wonderful promise, Lord. We just seize that promise. We ask that you would magnify your strength through our weakness, and you would just teach us a little bit more how to be your light and your salt and just to be more like you. In your name, according to your will, amen. So before we move on to the next topic, which is comfort one another, this past week had the subject of forgiveness came up on our Christian writers group. It's been a very popular topic. And I thought it was especially notable someone's comment, let go and let God. So especially when you consider that the most commonly used Greek word in the New Testament for forgive literally means to cast off or to send away. So literally, I think this is referring to what we are to do about holding a grudge, Leviticus 19:18, or having an unforgiving spirit. We are to cast it off and send it away. Now look at Matthew 6:12 in the light of this meaning. And cast off and send away our debts as we cast off and send away that unforgiving spirit, that grudge to our debtors. So I thought that was worth mentioning. So moving on to comfort one another. What does comfort one another really mean? Anybody? And as we will find out a little bit later, to come alongside, called to walk alongside, however you want to put it, is the most common definition for comfort in the New Testament. In fact, it's actually one of the names for the Holy Spirit is derived on that. Parakletos from parakaleo, which literally means one who walks beside, or one who's called to walk beside. It was actually a legal term for a defense attorney. But actually, as I understand it, a little closer than that, that basically somebody was going to stick beside you no matter what. And doesn't that really describe the Holy Spirit? I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's not just Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit as well. And God the Father. So, for instance, to quote an example from our study guide about what discomfort one really means, perhaps the place we sense our greatest need for comfort is in the dentist chair. If the dentist is going to fill a cavity or do a root canal or extract a tooth, we want every bit of comfort he can give us in the form of numbing drugs. But is that all comfort means, to numb us from pain we experience? Does comfort just mean make someone comfortable? I don't think so. So we'll deal with this topic much more extensively later on. But for now, let's see how the world defines comfort. Let's go to Merriam-Webster. The verb, there are two meanings, basically, which are closely related. To give strength and hope to, or to cheer. And two, to ease the grief or trouble of, to console. So to cheer and to console. And the noun would be basically strengthening aid, such as assistance or support, again, consolation, a feeling of relief or encouragement, contented well-being, like a lives of ease and comfort, for instance. But let's turn our attention to what God has to say. So in the Old Testament, by far the main word used in the Old Testament is, well, I can't pronounce it, nakam, but basically it means to sigh. or to pity. So a verse that for this, for instance, Genesis 5:29, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now, interestingly, this is the exact same word used for repent in Genesis 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart, Genesis 6:6. So why would the same word be used for both comfort and repent? Anybody? I've got a thought or two, but like I say, I just love the interaction. So basically, what I think it means, and this is probably just scratching the surface, but one frequent translation of this word is to grieve, which I think largely explains it. It grieved God that he created man when he saw how evil mankind had become. And I think it should grieve us when we see the pain a Christian brother or sister is in. And that should motivate us in wanting to comfort them. Of course, the overall is that we love them, but just, you know, brass tacks there. So just as we should rejoice with them that do rejoice, we should weep with them that weep, Romans 12:15. And so in that sense, I think that it makes pretty much perfect sense, at least to my limited understanding, why comfort and grieve and repent would be the same word, because it's all about relating to their pain and what they need to be comforted. I don't think repent means that God was sorry for, you know, what he had done, that he had made a mistake, and that it's time to just wipe the slate clean and start over again. I don't think that's what that means. God never changes. God never makes a mistake. But we can, just like it says, like Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Father. And we can grieve the Son, as Jesus says. So other meanings for comfort in the Old Testament is to support, to break off or loose. And that is generally used in the sense of kind of overcoming. For instance, if I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. And then a primitive root that means to spread, like to refresh. Stay with me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. That's an interesting one in Song of Solomon, but basically it's referring to physical comforts, which we'll get into a little bit later. Then, just as there are physical comforts, there are emotional, or anyway, another one means the heart. And of course, the Jews and the Greeks, basically the Romans all back in that time, thought that the heart was the center of all emotions. So for instance, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. And if you'll forgive me, pardon means forgiven. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, Isaiah 40:2. Now, let's turn to the New Testament. I think it's a little easier to understand the meanings. The first one is carso, and forgive me, I'm not pronouncing these, which literally means to have courage. For instance, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good courage. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew 9:22. Another is paramukwamei, and I'm not even close to getting that, but it's usually translated to encourage. So I think of the first one, to have courage, meaning to that person individually, and this, to encourage, basically meaning we're bringing courage, we're giving courage to that person that's hurting, that needs to be comforted. For instance, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, John 11:19. Now, by far the most for comfort in the New Testament, as I was mentioning earlier, springboarding off of Kevin, is parakaleo, which literally means to call near, to call to walk alongside. Basically, the idea is there's someone walking side by side with you through thick and thin, who's there for you no matter what. For instance, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. In fact, the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. The Greek term is parakletos, which comes from para, near, beside, and kaleo, to call. So called to be near, called to be alongside. And the classic verse for that, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. So there's a couple other words for comfort, or that are translated comfort in the King James Version. One is eusukeo, which basically is a combination of well and spirit, or to be in good spirits, to be encouraged. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, Philippians 2:19. And finally, we have paragoria, which is para, near, beside, and agora, the marketplace. So I basically think of this as having your own cheering section. You have multiple people that are there to comfort you, to encourage you. It's like having your own cheering section. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me, Colossians 4:11. I think there are times when we should all be the cheering section for any of our Christian brother or sister that needs that kind of encouragement, that kind of comfort. And just one last thought on this before we move on. Comfort can be used in a negative sense, meaning to avenge oneself. Classic example. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Not in a good sense there, Genesis 27:42. So, he's looking forward to it. He's taking pleasure in it, yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that can be in a good sense, that we can certainly, you know, you know, as we have opportunity, Galatians 6, one of the verses, you know, therefore as ye have opportunity, do good unto, I'm not getting it right, everybody, especially the household of faith. So we should be looking for those opportunities, you know, other places it says be eager, you know, so, but not eager to do evil, but eager to do good. Yeah, I mean, I think that's Galatians 6:2, if I'm not mistaken. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As opposed to, you know, James is saying, you know, if you say, be warm, be filled, but you don't do anything, what good is it? You know, that's back to kindness. It needs to be useful. And that is a burden that we could never carry. There's, you know, the big difference, like David Jeremiah says, that the difference between Christianity and every other, if I may use the term loosely, religion, because Christianity is so much more than religion, is God reaching down to man as opposed to man reaching up to God. That is the big, big difference. No other religion has the preaching of the cross that, you know, the Apostle Paul boasted in, the preaching of the cross and of Christ. So, going from there, let's look at God's examples that are comforting. One, God abides with us forever. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I find that interesting because Jesus is listed as a comforter. That he will give you another comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is usually considered to be the comforter. But anyway, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:16. And in Hebrews 13:4, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave nor forsake thee. And of course, in the Great Commission, and live with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Always means always. So, God abides with us forever. And two, going to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Comforter teaches us and brings all things to our remembrance. And this can, of course, be very comforting to us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26, which I mentioned earlier. But think how many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that we are comforted by remembering what God has done for us in the past. Like, was there ever a time when you really thought about it? I mean, we always, like, you know, felt that, God, where are you? I need you, and I don't know where you are, but hindsight, better than foresight, that kind of thing. When you look at it and you go, you were there, and you did answer that prayer. And I see that you did that now. And there may be some that we won't understand this side of heaven, but there are so many in the past that we can go, God was faithful. God was faithful. God was faithful. God was faithful. God's never broken a promise. I mean, that is a wonderful source of comfort. God's not going to go, you know, I've got a really good track record. Maybe just breaking one promise is no big deal. God's never going to do that. You know, I am the Lord. I never change. Actually, my apologies to you, Daryl. It is, 1 Thessalonians 4:18 is, wherefore comfort one another with these words. 5:11 is, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So my apologies, but I'll make a point of that a little bit later. I think I'm going to segue off that. So, as the guidebook mentioned, and we all agree, perhaps one of the Bible's greatest examples of comfort to the Christian is Jesus' promise he is coming back for us. So how important is this promise? As the Apostle Paul states, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Now, Cheryl likes to say that she thinks living the Christian life, even if there were no afterlife, even if there were no resurrection of the dead, even if there were no heaven, would still be better than living a life of just sin and debauchery. But I'm just saying what that Bible verse itself says. We are of all men most miserable. So in other words, if Christ was not raised, he will not be coming back for us. There is no afterlife, and the grave does claim a victory. But, as Paul stated later in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:56. So just very briefly, because I don't want to, I mean, that's obviously a high note, but just to continue with that, in addition, at least three well-known scripture passages referring to Jesus' return for his church include the concept of comfort. Specifically, John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Dropping down to verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, and 1 Thessalonians 5, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. So I think that's a good place to leave off here. Shall we pray? My Father, thank you for the comfort that you provide us. You know that we get down, we get discouraged, keep our eyes on the storms, the wind and the waves, and we just take our eyes off you, and you are right there in the boat with us. You are closer than that. You are inside us. Just let us never forget that, Lord. Now just be with Pastor Cook as he brings the message. Be with the choir as they bring the message and song, the special music. All of us as we seek to serve you and your strength and your wisdom. And in your perfect peace that binds us together in your love, Lord. In your name and according to your will, amen. Thank you, gentlemen.